Praise the Lord. Well, it's interesting. You know, as Christians, we're constantly learning to flow with the Spirit. That's what we need to learn to do. That's what God calls us to do. The title of this message that the Lord gave me is called Stirred by the Wind of the Spirit. And it's interesting because I had a completely different message, and it just felt like it didn't match the title that God had already given me. And so so I am going to be doing much of what I'm preaching to you that we do today, and that is flow with the Spirit, because I have learned I would rather speak a message inspired and led by the Spirit and lean on Him than give a speech that I have prepared well, because the truth is, we change through revelation. When the Holy Spirit breathes on something and He gives life to something, that's where the change comes. And that's why a moment in the presence of God can change us more than years of striving on our own. You know, we can strive, we can work, we can try really hard to change. But if you are not connected to Jesus, you're going to fall over and over and over. And sometimes, even as Christians, we fall over and over until we throw our hands up and say, God, I can't do this by myself. I can't. I have tried. And God says, I know. And when we learn to lean on Him and we say to Him, God, I need You. I need You every moment of every day. I need You to help me not do the things that I'm not supposed to do and do the things that I'm supposed to do. I need You to lead my life because I don't know what lies ahead of me. And when we get to that point, then God can really speak to us. And that's what we need. That's where we need to be. So we're going to look in John chapter 3. This is when Jesus was speaking to one of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were people, they knew the law. They knew what they were supposed to do and lived by a certain code of conduct. But even when we know what to do and we know all the religious things or all the good things that we should be doing, there is an emptiness in that if it is not connected to relationship with Jesus. And Nicodemus found that Jesus had something that caused him a stirring in him. And that's often what happens to us is God begins to stir us. And we start to think, man, there has got to be more to life than this. Like there has got to be more than like my dad used to tell of old Jake. And he was digging a ditch and they said, why are you digging that ditch, Jake? And he said, well, you know, so I can, you know, keep my job and, you know, provide my fam for my family. And well, what do you want to do that for? Well, you know, so I can pay my bills and, you know, do what I'm supposed to do. And what do you want to do that for? And Jake scratched his head and said, I guess so I can dig this ditch. You know, that's what life becomes apart from being connected to the Creator who made us for more than that. Our life is not to make money so we can pay bills, so we can give it to bill collectors, so we can eventually leave it to somebody else. And you know, our life is meant to be connected to God Almighty who created us so that even if we're digging a ditch, we're saying, God, I am digging this ditch for You. And there is purpose in this. And You are going to show me what comes after this and how to do this and who to minister to while I'm doing it. And listen, so when you're living that way, it's not about whether you're digging a ditch or typing on a computer or calling on the phone or, you know, working on construction, it doesn't matter because who we are is about Him and for Him and to Him. And so John, in John chapter 3, this is the story, like I said, of Nicodemus the Pharisee. So we're going to start in verse 1. And if you want to stand, we're going to read through verse 9. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, probably because he was concerned about what his other colleagues would think. And so he said, because the Pharisees were not happy with Jesus, he said to him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this to us that have been in the church a long time is familiar. We've heard the term born again if you've been in the church. If you haven't been in the church, then don't feel bad. You're just like Nicodemus. It was completely new to him. And his response was just like ours would be. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, I love Jesus. Jesus kept the conversation going where he wanted it to go. He did not let people's questions lead him on a rabbit trail of answering questions that didn't need to be. Jesus didn't go into a theological explanation of how the physical birth applies to the spiritual birth. Jesus kept the conversation going where he wanted it to go, where the Father was leading. So he said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, so don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. And I really want us to focus on verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Okay, you can be seated. Listen, until we get revelation of things from God, our response to spiritual things is often, how can these things be? God, what are you saying to me? What is the point here? What are you trying to do in my life? And here, Jesus was teaching Nicodemus and us a spiritual truth that we have to learn if we're going to walk with Jesus. There is a reason why verse 8 is connected to verse 3. When Jesus said, unless a man or a woman, unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. First and foremost, if we are going to walk with God, we have to be born again. We have to start completely over. That's why when I come to God and I offer my life to him, I don't bring all the good stuff that I did. God, I have been a good person. I have given some to the church. I went to church some. I've been nice to people. I gave to charity. Because none of that apart from Jesus matters. We're not going to stand before God and all the works that people did apart from Jesus, they're not going to line them all up. Unless we are connected, Jesus said, apart from me, in John 15, you can do nothing. So that's why none of that counts. Paul said, I count it all as rubbish or dung or garbage, basically. All the good stuff that I did. Because none of that is going to make me right with God Almighty. That's why people can be in church their whole life and not be saved. Because if you aren't born again, if you don't understand that I have to start over in a spiritual life, understanding that I am a child of Almighty God because of what Jesus did. That's where it starts. But then verse 8 tells us, believe it or not, how to live the Christian life. And God has been teaching me about this. I've been meditating on verse 8, like just this past week and the past few days, going, God, what does that mean? Because sometimes you read these spiritual concepts and you're like, what, God, what does that mean? And often I come to the end of them and I go, God, I still don't understand it logically. Like, I still can't really explain it the way that I would like to. But verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I had an object lesson, but I wasn't sure if I was going to use it, so Rick's going to go get it for me. But our Christian life often feels like we are floating with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to explain what that means. Because sometimes God tells us, I want you to release everything that's comfortable for you. God will call people completely out of a job situation, a place, a way of living that is entirely comfortable for them, and then encourage them to just follow me. That's what Jesus did to the disciples. He said, come follow me. And they left their nets and followed him. So understand, for these men who were fishermen, This was their livelihood. This is how they provided for their families because Peter was married. Because we know, because he has a mother-in-law. And if he had a mother-in-law, then he had a wife. So he was married. This was their way of living. I mean, this is what they did with their time every day. This is how they were defined in society. This is where their friends were. And for James and John, where their father was. So this was a major thing when Jesus said, come follow me. And the Bible says they left their nets and followed him. Now, we can read those words and think, oh, wow, they just followed Jesus around for a while. This was a major deal for them. It meant leaving everything that was comfortable, everything that they were used to, everything that provided for them to follow a man around. Of course, we know that Jesus was not just a man. He was the Son of God. But this is what God calls us to. My parents, when God called them to go to Bible college, it did not make sense. They had a perfectly good, thriving business. They were going to church. They tried to tell God, God, we are going to church. Like, we are doing the Christian thing. You know, tried to teach classes. Like, we're going to, you know, do really good and be a really good part of this church. And God kept stirring. But listen, sometimes... Now, this is not a vine. I want to explain to you because I know that sometimes object lessons can get confusing because the Bible uses different things for different. Now, this is not a vine because we're not supposed to be dead. We're supposed to be attached to the vine. This is a tree. This is a branch from a tree. But often what we see happens in fall. In fall, you start to see what? You start to see the leaves falling and they float. If there was wind in here, the wind would catch the leaf and it would flow with the wind. Sometimes, as a Christian, that's what God is going to ask you to do. And it's hard. And the more control you need, the harder it's going to be for you. You might as well, as a Christian, just learn to release control to God. And that might mean one finger at a time. Like, you know, because some of you have a death grip on the control. And it is very hard to release control. But I'm telling you, if you are going to serve God, you cannot, hear me clearly, you cannot maintain control of your own life and give control to God. It's not possible. Either he's in control or you're in control. And God will say to you, let that go. And then you have a choice. You can hang on to what you're holding on to, or you can let it go. God will bring situations into our life to teach us to let go. For some of us, it is letting go of the control of what people think about me. I've told you things about my life that God has said, let go of that, Shannon. What I think matters more than what people think. That's hard for me. But he is teaching me, and I have come a long way, and he's still teaching me. For some of you, it is finances. You have a death grip on your finances because you have learned that you have to control it. Listen, I'm going to tell you this is very important as a Christian. When you really are born again, your bank account and your wallet and your debit card comes with you. That's how it's meant to be. Like, you don't leave that part at home and say, no, that's mine. And this spiritual time that I bring to church, this is yours. Listen, it's all God's. But the beauty of when you learn that is when God says, give this to me. And you go, God, like, we don't have that in the finances. You go, God, that's your problem. Like, my bills are yours. So this giving is yours. And it's your problem how you're going to provide. But that is releasing control, which is hard. Most of you know we have a beautiful, almost 18-month-old girl named Eden. Well, what you might not know is that when God called us to start having babies again in our 40s, which was not really in our plan, we had Jude, and then I got pregnant with Eden. When I got pregnant with Eden, we were in between insurance. Now, I am considered high risk because I'm over 40, which means that they want me to do all these ultrasounds and all this extra stuff, you know. And we didn't have insurance because we were paying a gob of money for insurance every month, had a huge deductible. And so we were like, we are going to look elsewhere. So we started looking elsewhere. I got pregnant. It was in between the time for open enrollment. So we had no insurance, and I am pregnant with a high-risk baby, you know, because I'm 40, or I was 40, what, 43, I guess, when I got pregnant with Eden. Anyway, long story short, immediately, almost immediately, when I found out I was pregnant, I heard God say, "I am your source." And I knew what he meant. He meant, "Shannon, I'm going to take care of the finances for this baby." Because we didn't have $10,000 saved up, you know, to pay to have a baby. But I watched God throughout that time. Like, even from the first appointment that I went to, that I was praying, "God, what do I do here? I don't have the money to go to this appointment." Somebody that didn't know how much it was going to cost gave me an envelope with the amount of money that I needed to go to my first appointment. I could tell you stories about how God provided all the way until after Eden was born. God wanted me to have her, and he is my source. But listen, for us, that was releasing control of the, you know, the need to provide and the need to have a plan and the need to, you know what is happening in my life. My life has taken a completely different turn than Rick and I thought it was going to. Y'all know that I've been here a long time. Rick said four no more for like, what, 12 years? You know, I don't know, a long time. 9 years, you know? But God wanted us to have more babies. And that, you know, my life is his. But sometimes it means, well, all the time, it means releasing control. James chapter 4, verse 13, if you put that up, Joe. Sometimes God says, this plan that you have, the Bible says a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. James 4, 13 says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit." Verse, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." That does not sound like somebody who has the 20-year plan. I mean, now, I'm not saying it's bad to plan. It's not a bad thing, you know, to plan and to save money. I'm not saying you shouldn't do all of those things. We're to be good stewards of what we have. But I'm saying if you have a nest egg saved up and God begins to stir your heart and says, give it, because he might, then you have to be willing to say, "But God," that's when you might say to God, "But God, that's my retirement. What am I going to do about my retirement?" And God says, "I am your source." And you release control and you say, "God, everything that I have is yours anyway." I will tell you this. When I found out I was pregnant with Eden, and I don't say this in pride, the Lord knows, there was not even a thought that we would stop tithing or stop giving to missions. Because those are not, they're not iffy. Like, there is no, like, let me see if this works in my budget because I need to put aside money for the baby. No, God comes first. Malachi 3:10 says, "You have robbed me in tithes and offering." I am not robbing God. I would rather rob the Georgia Power Company, which I'm not going to do that either. But I'm not going to rob God. I would rather look at my finance and say, what else has to go? We got to get rid of cell phones. We got to get rid of internet. We got to get rid of, you know, whatever it is. I am not going to rob God because he is the most important one in my life. And giving to him takes first priority. Rick and I pay our tithes online, so we try. As soon as we get our check and deposit it, the tithes go in and the missions offering goes in. Listen, this is the way to live, but it is so much better because we have learned over the years. Some people, we talked to a friend the other day, and he said, "How do you guys do it?" Because I think he's thinking, you're having another baby, like that's 7 kids you have to raise, you have to provide for. Listen, I have learned God is the source. Whether we have 7 or 10 or 4 or 2, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying we're having 10. I really don't believe we're going to have 10. I'm just saying that's not the point. If God told us to adopt a bunch of children, listen, he will provide for them. If it's his will, it's his bill, my dad used to say. So when your finances are really God's, then when God stirs your heart and you realize the Bible says that I should send missionaries, it is scriptural to give to missions. It is godly that Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, these you ought to have done and not to left the others undone. So he said, you ought to tithe. Jesus says I ought to tithe. It's a given. Like, it is coming out. God will take care of the rest. But listen, you get there by learning to release control and say, God, everything that I have is yours anyway. My money that I make to pay my bills is yours. My nest egg is yours. My savings are yours. Whatever you want to do with it. Robert Morris talks about this because God has really taught him how to give. And if you're really interested in more on this subject, I would challenge you to watch The Blessed Life. He has a whole series on YouTube called The Blessed Life. And he tells about how God told him to give his house away. I mean, his house with everything in it. Listen, when we really learn to say to God, you cannot, God will provide. If I was to take you to my house, and y'all are welcome to come, just call me, because as you know, I have 6 children. So if you want to see my house clean, give me a little bit of a, you know, give me a heads up. But if you would come by my house, I could show you. This was given to us. 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 When our house flooded in 2017, that was a shock. We didn't have flood insurance. We lived in that house 20 years, never flooded. So we didn't have flood insurance. A lot of the people in our neighborhood didn't have flood insurance. Our house, so shockingly, just flooded. You know, let me tell you, like, people kept giving us money. I mean, our house turned out better after the flood than it was before Irma hit. Only God can do that. Now, there were lots of moments during that time that Rick and I were like, king, release control. You know, because for me, honestly, I was like, okay, if you don't know me, I have learned this about myself and the Lord is working on me. I am a very laid back person, but I am not patient. I have learned, like, I have to work on patience. That's why I get pregnant and I'm like, can I just have this baby tomorrow? Like, I know that everything's not ready, but I'm just ready to be done with this and just, you know, go ahead and finish this. So when our house flooded and we had to wait weeks and months for everything, it seemed like it was very hard. Jude was a toddler. We're living on concrete floors with sheetrock dust everywhere and walls cut out. And I'm like, oh, please, child, do not crawl through the wall where all of the, you know, electrical things are. I mean, yes, we could have probably lived in a hotel and maybe got reimbursed. But if you have ever lived in a hotel room with a bunch of children, it is a whole lot easier for everybody to have their own space. So my point is, God kept having to teach me, Shannon, in the midst of this, you look at me. He said things to me like, people live on concrete in other parts of the world all the time and are thankful. He said things to me like, do all things without murmuring and complaining. And in the midst of that situation, I was learning, God, you are the source and you are in control. And I will flow with you even if I am flowing very glitchy. Like, if my flowing is very stiff. Sometimes when we first start, we're like, you know, because we don't know how to flow. Like, it is a process. But I'm telling you, it is part of the Christian life. And if there's one thing, that's what God has taught me through this scripture that he kept bringing me back to. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. If you are truly born of the Spirit, there are going to be times when God is going to ask you to flow. And if you have not stepped out in faith in any way in a long time in your life, then you need to ask God, God, am I maybe missing you? Have you asked me to step out and I wasn't listening? Am I so planted in my own plans that I'm not listening to you? James 4, let's look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now, a lot of people say, well, if it's the Lord's will, but they mean that to the degree that it's not actually going to affect their plans. you know, like for other people, like, well, you know, honey, if the Lord wills, then he's going to make that happen. It's a whole lot easier to say that to somebody else whose situation really doesn't affect you than it is when this is talking about your life and your job and what you're going to do with your life. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16 says, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So to say, this is what I am doing, having not asked God, having not surrendered it to God, having not like talked to God about it. And this happens with Christians all the time. I'm amazed that people just go, yeah, I'm just going to move over here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm thinking, have you talked to the one that's in charge of your life about it? Because if it's God, then great. But if not, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. My life is not my own. It's his. And so that's why it's arrogance for me to say, I am going to do this apart from God. We go typically on like a little family vacation 4 or 5 days, usually after Christmas, because that's kind of the most quiet time in the church and it just kind of works for us. The kids are out of school and stuff. And I remember I started thinking, because I've learned over the years, that's another story, to plan ahead. And so I started thinking early in the year about our next family vacation, because I love it. We're all stuck together and we get to spend lots of time together and I love it. And so I started thinking, and I was kind of making these plans, and I heard a message on the radio by, I think it was Joyce Meyer, and she was talking about how she had made a plan, and God was beginning to deal with her about how she had made this plan for a vacation and not talked to him about it. And I thought, I don't think I have even asked God what his plan is for our vacation. Listen, God wants to be involved in every part of our lives. Now, I'm not saying you have to ask God, should I eat peanut butter and jelly or turkey and cheese? You know, I mean, you can make those kinds of decisions. But when you are making decisions about your finances, about your job, about your children, when you have a moment of weakness or fear or uncertainty or insecurity, bring it to the Lord and say, God, my life is yours. What I have is yours. What, you know, what are you saying for me to do here? What is your plan here? Verse 17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. When you know what you should be doing, and if you can say to somebody, I know that I should be doing that. God's been dealing with me about it for a while. That's not just you ignoring or you, that is sin. And you need to repent. Because when God begins to show us you should be doing this, he is in that time offering himself to help us change. So that's why it's sin. There's no excuse for it, because when we surrender our life to God, we also gain his power and strength to obey. We don't have to live this life alone. So we cannot say to God, now we can, and I have tried it. We can say to God, God, I can't do this. I remember I struggled. I led worship, you guys know, for a long time before God spoke and released it to Janine, and I am so grateful because it is so where she's supposed to be. But when I was leading it, I remember at one point I sat on the floor and I said to God, God, I can't do this. Because I felt like I just didn't have it all together. I didn't have the things together that I should have had together. And at that time in my life, God said, I don't want somebody else to do it. I want you to get it together. Well, that was harsh. Like, God didn't say, oh, honey, I know this is so hard for you. And, you know, and this is not your personality. Sometimes God says, this is where I'm flowing and this is what I want you to do. Now, thankfully, a few years after that, I don't remember, God made it very clear that it was his will for my sister to take over. And I am so grateful, because it's so obvious that that's where that's God's will and that that's his plan. But we have to flow not only with his plan, but with his timing. So when God begins to stir, you need to listen, because this is what happens when we don't. When God begins to stir us and we ignore him and we shut him off, what will happen is you will be able to go on with your life. And sometimes you will go on and you'll forget about what God began to deal with you about, until maybe you get into the presence of God again or you hear a message again. But you can waste a lot of time missing the growth that God is calling you to. And you can end up years down the road looking back going, man, what happened? Like, I used to be so close to God. Like, I used to hear his voice. If we ignore him speaking to us, we will miss the truth that he is trying to lead us into. And as Christians, his voice should be the one we desire the most. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:6, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. A lot of people, when they go to make, some people don't pray at all, but some Christians, when they go to make a big decision, all of a sudden they say, God, you know, what's your will here? But they don't know how to hear God because they're not used to listening to him. This verse, if you put up Proverbs 3:6, that word in all your ways, the word way means course of life or mode of action. So in the course of my life, in the mode of action, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge means to know. So in every course of life, in every mode of action, we are to know him, to seek to know. The decisions that I make, Rick and I try, we don't always, but we work to plan together because we do a lot of things together. Our lives are connected. We, you know, we share responsibilities at the house and with the kids and all of that. And so I try to say to him, because he is so important in the decision-making process for me, hey, what do you think? Should we try to do this week? You know, and often he's very helpful to me to say, no, Shannon, we should wait. Like, we should, you know, try to do that next week or the week after. But I ask him, because he's so important in my life, why would I do any less with God? Because God is so important in my life, if I acknowledge him in all of my ways, he will direct my path. So when I am uncertain and I feel the flowing and I'm like, God, could you just give me a plan here? Like, would you just show me what you're trying, what I'm supposed to be doing? I stand on this verse, that if I acknowledge him in all my ways, he will direct my path. For me this week, it looked like I had this whole message planned out about giving to missions, because we're talking about missions this week. And honestly, I even went over it with my mom yesterday, the points that I had and the scriptures that I had, but it just felt dry. It just felt like, and like I said at the beginning, I have learned, God, I would rather flow with you, even if it means that I have one page of notes instead of 3.5, which is what I usually have, because I know these things. Like, I typically have 3.5 pages of notes, and, you know, and I know about what it looks like. I would rather flow with him and let him lead than stand firm in my plan and miss God. So I'm telling you, learn to flow. If you see your white knuckled hands hanging on to something that God is telling you to release, you are going to miss it if you don't learn to release it. If you have an iron grip on your finances, you need to release them to God if you're a Christian, because they should be his anyway. Now, yes, God wants us to be good stewards. Yes, he wants us to pay our bills. Yes, he gives to us. I am amazed sometimes, like, how God will give to me things that I want that I don't even need. Like, he is so good to bless his people. But I pray that I am always like, God, everything that I have is yours. If you want me to have another baby, it's going to cost money, but it's your bill anyway. You're the source. If you want me to give this money to missions, I'm going to tell this, then I'm going to close. When we lived in Okinawa, when we went over to Okinawa and Rick got sent to Okinawa, we had just gotten married. That's a whole nother story. But I went over to Okinawa. His officers told him, don't even think about bringing your wife over here. You will never make it on your salary. But God had a plan. We moved over there. I moved over there. We lived in an apartment off base, which is why they said we wouldn't make it, because we couldn't live on base, because I wasn't technically supposed to be there. I worked at the church, but I made almost nothing. It was more of a ministry than a job. But we immediately started tithing and giving. And then they had, was it a building plan or a missions thing? It was some kind of, pledge. We felt a certain amount. Listen, we already were not even supposed to be making it on what we were making, but we pledged this amount that God spoke to us to give. Not only did we live and give our pledge, we paid off bills while we were there. We would look at each other, not even sure of where the money came from sometimes. Listen, I understand that it's hard sometimes to flow, but you will see the miraculous if you will step out and obey God. It's so much better to live His way. And so we have learned from that, and it's a continual learning process to say to God, God, what are you saying now? What does this look like for us now? This month, we were talking about, you know, we think we're going to up our missions giving. But we lay it before God and say, God, what are you saying? What do you want us to do here? Because really, it's His anyway. What we have is His anyway. And when you live that way, and I'm not saying I live that way all the time. Sometimes I get anxious, you know. I mean, I'm pregnant again. We're looking at, you know, just all of that and, you know, providing. But so I have moments of anxiety that I'm maybe trying to hold on to things that I don't need to hold on to. But then I offer it back to God and I say, God, everything that I have is yours. We have laid out our bills on the table and said, God, show us what to do. If you want us to save more, if you want us to give more, if you want us to pay more, show us what to do. He will. He is so faithful. So I just want to challenge you this morning, wherever you are, if you have never really been born again, or you know that you need to start there, no matter how long you've been in church, I just challenge you to say to God, God, I need to be reborn, understanding that I am your child, not because of my good works, but because of who you are, Lord Jesus. If you need prayer for anything, if you know that you need to learn to flow, whether you come to the altar and admit it to God or whether you sit in your seat, it doesn't matter to me. But if the Lord is leading you to come up here, then you should come up here. If you don't feel that, just pray. Say to God, God, I need to learn to flow with you, Holy Spirit. I'm laying my plans before you. God, I need you to even help me to release control because it feels like I cannot do it. We can invite God in the whole process. And we're just going to invite you. If you need prayer, we want to pray with you.